Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138, visit Prevnar20.com, or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Yeah, the rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
At your door, you're running so, but that's for sure. He already knows all about you. Cut you down, don't murder by you. Now you better walk the
Warning, this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And today, continuing again, State versus Scott Peterson, scorched. And y'all, I know it's long. Just stick with me. We're in the death penalty phase. He's already been found guilty of the murder of Lacey and Connor. And now it's just, to me, bordering on ridiculous that they go into this much detail. They be in the defense on, they're talking to Scott's dad. When we left off last time, they're talking to Scott's dad. And he hadn't even got to, he's been on the stand for an hour or more, and he hadn't even got to the point of talking about Scott yet. So here today we're going to start talking about Scott and his childhood and all this. And like, it makes a fuck, right? You murder your wife and your unborn baby. And then you want to talk about all this? Well, listen to how scorched this is. So we'll begin. And last time he was talking about how he made a good life for his family, right? So it starts off again, Harris is the defense attorney. And of course, Peterson is Scott's dad. So Harris just got done asking him. So basically, you made a very comfortable for life, you and your children. Is that a fair statement? And he says, yeah, that's a fair statement. So then Harris says, did you continue to see your children from your first marriage? Peterson, oh, sure. All the time. We were, as they grew up, I took them to play golf, to the driving range, take golf lessons, went fishing, went to the parks, the whole gamut. The four of us were always doing something. Rancho Santa Fe was a great place to do things. It's a little kind of a little village area full of shops, and the school was right near our home for Scott. And the boys would all come over, and we had a pool. And all this was like a dream come true for us, because Rancho Santa Fe is like, at least to me, it was like the very pinnacle. You have made it once you got there. And it was just a very nice place to live and raise kids and have your family come. Harris, did your father, Scott's grandfather, eventually come out as well? Peterson, yes. Harris, when did he move? Peterson, he moved to San Diego shortly after my mom died. Harris, and when were you close to him? Peterson, very close, yeah. Harris, did he actually live with you at some point? Peterson, yeah, he did. He lived with us for a year in one home, and then he moved in with us. We had a guest house in Rancho Santa Fe, and he moved in with us. Not for very long, I'm afraid. We moved him in on a Saturday afternoon and took him to his favorite place for dinner. He died that night in his sleep. But it was just a really, you could see he was happy that night. It was just a very nice way for him to go. Harris, I'm going to get into Scott now if you want to take a break. Right, y'all? Because he's been up there telling everything. I'm talking about Scott's dad's, what his parents did and what he did and blah, 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 blah. We're just now getting to the fucking murder. These people sat on that jury and listened to all that shit. They already made their decision. Now, you're trying to save his life. I get that. But if I was on the jury, I'd be like, hey, motherfucker, what is his great-grandparents and your upbringing have anything to do? From everything you told us, it was all gravy. And that makes him even more evil, right? If I was, first of all, I have a real problem finding the guilty. We'll get into that because they scorched it so bad. But secondly, if I found him guilty and you put all this shit up there, it wouldn't do anything but piss me off. But let's continue. Harris, I believe when we left off, we had talked a lot about your business and about the family as it exists before Scott. When was Scott born? Peterson. On October 24th, 1972. Harris. So this was about a year or two after you and Jackie had been married. Peterson. About a year, a little over a year. Harris. The dynamic at this point is that three older children, Susan, Mark, and Joe, are not living with you. Is that correct? Peterson. That's right. Harris. So John is the one that's actually living at home. Peterson. That's right. Harris. And then Scott would be the second child that's actually living at home with you. Is that right? Peterson. Yes. Harris. What do you remember about the birth of Scott and what happened? Because it really fucking makes a difference, right? But anyway, Peterson. Well, I wasn't in the delivery room. Jackie had a C-section. So the first time I saw Scott was after I visited Jackie. And at this particular hospital, they line up all the babies inside of an area. And then there's an outdoor, you're actually outdoors looking through a window at the babies lined up in their little bassinets. And so I went and got the other kids and came back to show them their baby brother. And I remember he was right in the middle of all the other babies, and he had a lot of hair. He was very distinctive looking. And my second son, Joe, who didn't talk a whole lot at the time, was so proud of Scott that anybody would come by to look at their babies, you know, parents and grandparents, Joe would point out and say, "That's my baby brother." And he must have said that, I don't know, 3 or 4 times to people. And it was just, it was so amazing to me that Joe was that excited about having a baby brother. All the other kids were too, but Joe in particular. Harris, shortly after you brought Scott home, did he end up contracting for pneumonia? Peterson, it was pneumonia, and we, of course, took him to the hospital, and he was very ill. They had him in it was some kind of chamber, a plastic chamber that controlled humidity, and I think air pressure to a certain extent. They couldn't use much medications. He was such a small baby, and he was very risky. And the doctor said, you know, this may not go so well, but he pulled out of it and he lived. Harris, let me see the context then. You are at the point Scott is born. You're still working for REA. Is that right? The trucking company? Peterson, yes. Harris, that would have been 1976. Peterson, uh-huh. Harris, you're still here. You're living where at this point? A small house? Peterson, we're living in an apartment in La Jolla. Harris, it's about a 900 square feet apartment. Peterson, yeah, it was small. It had 2 little bedrooms, a living area, and a kitchen. Harris, when Scott was a young baby, what are your memories of being around that house, being around that apartment, I should say? Peterson, well, I remember Jackie bathing him in the kitchen sink, and when she'd get him all dried off, he was all nice and shiny. She would take him and dance, and she would dance around the kitchen and the living room to entertain us, and Scott would have a huge smile on his face. He loved the motion, I guess. Harris, how was he as a baby? Peterson, he was perfect. He woke up smiling. He went to bed smiling. Great disposition. You know, usually a mother crying, a baby does that, yeah? Harris, how did the other kids react? Peterson, I'm sorry? Harris, how did the other kids react to him? Specifically, let me go through, how did Susan, your oldest daughter, how was she with Scott? Peterson, well, Scott was her new baby too. She was about 12 at the time, and I don't think he would ever learn to walk if she had been living with us all the time, because she carried him all the time. And she would give him 2 baths a day at least because she loved doing it. The kids were really happy to have a little brother. He was such a novelty. They had a lot of fun with him. Harris, were they around a lot, the older 3 kids? Were they around Scott a lot since they were actually living there? Peterson, yeah, they were practically every weekend and once in a while during the week. So they had a lot of contact with him. I remember Sunday mornings the kids would come over on the weekends. And Sunday mornings, Susie would put Scott in the stroller and take him to the convenience store. And she'd buy bacon and eggs and fruit rolls, whatever else. And then we'd all cook and sit outside on the patio. You could actually see the ocean about a half block away. It was a very pleasant time. Harris, is it fair statement to say that Scott's first sort of help heal some of the wounds from the divorce, bringing the families a little closer together? Peterson, I hadn't considered that. Yeah, I think it did, you know, more of a family. Harris, at this point, I want to make sure I have the time frame. She didn't have the dress shop at this point, did she? Peterson. She did. Harris. So when Scott was born, she did? Peterson. Yes. Harris. What would she do for him as far as daycare? Peterson. She would take him to the dress shop, and there was a little back room area, and she had a crib in there. And then, as he started crawling around, he would actually, I mean, he had the run of the shop. He would crawl around the shop. It was carpeted. And one day, he bit a lady on the toe. She was wearing open-toe shoes. He was under a dress, one of these round dress carousels, and this poor woman, she, or something like that, and Jack said, oh my gosh, and there was Scott underneath the dress, gnawing on the lady's toe. Harris, as he got older, he became 2, 3, 4 years old. How was his disposition? How was he as a child, a young man, a young child? Peterson, he was just great. Always smiling. He was never whining or, you know, he didn't want a lot of things. He was happy. He had this little action figures and trucks, and he would go out and play by himself for long periods of time. You could pick him up, put him in the car. He was willing to go along with anything. Just very happy and content. A happy kid. Harris. Once you started the Creighton business, did he come to work with you? Did he come as a child? Did he come to visit? Peterson. Yeah. After Jackie came aboard full time, we had an area for him to play in where all of his toys were. It was kind of gated off by one of these, they're like accordion things that spread out, you know, to keep him in. He was there. Harris. Did he enjoy being around there? Peterson. He enjoyed everything. I don't care where you put him. He was happy. Harris. You used to take him trucking with you to truck deliveries and that kind of thing. Peterson. Yeah. Sometimes I'd be passing big trucks, and if I didn't have to go too far to go for a delivery or a pickup, I'd put him in the seat and take him with me, belt him in, give him a toy. Harris. How early did you actually, you continue your passion for golf, right? Peterson. Yes. Harris. In fact, I assume when you were in a warmer climate, it probably increased even more, would you say? Peterson. Yeah, it did. Harris. How early did you introduce Scott to golf? Peterson. He was probably 3. Harris. You gave him a golf club at 3? Peterson. Yeah. A little sawed-off golf club. That's how all the kids started. We found some inexpensive clubs or something and cut them to size. This particular one we got for Scott was small. It wasn't very big. It was actually a driver. It was like a 3-wood, and we sawed it off about this big. And we still have it. It's called a slugger, and it's got a place in my den, actually. Harris, I want to show you some photographs. Would you take a look to see if they actually represent? Peterson, they do. Judge, what number is that, Mr. Harris? Harris, that's, I apologize. That's 8D9 and F8. Judge, 9F8. Harris, 9F8. Yes, Your Honor. Judge, turn the light off. Harris. A little better. What is that? A picture of Lee? Peterson. That's me and Scott. I think it's on a course called Sandpiper near Santa Barbara. Harris. How old is he about that time? This picture, it's a little hard to see. Peterson. 10, 9, or 10, I guess. Jackie took the picture. Harris. Maybe that's as clear as we're going to get it. Did he have an early interest in golf? Did he enjoy it? Peterson. He loved it. Yeah. Harris. Did he pick it up quickly? Peterson. Yeah, he showed quite an aptitude, actually, and a lot of persistence. He was about that age, and the two boys and I would go out to play at a full-size course and take Scott along. We would ask him. He wanted to play all the latest tees. The latest tees, that's considerably shorter. And then he would insist on playing the men's tees. So he was hitting and running. And, you know, it was quite a chore just to keep up. But he wanted to play the men's tees. He hit a lot of balls in the water because of that, and a lot in the woods.
You want to set your child up for success. Is your child struggling with a specific subject, or do they need a challenge to keep them engaged? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies, and adapts to each child, meeting them at their personal level. As a homeschool parent, I can tell you that IXL has been life-saving for my son, WL. He uses IXL every day and allows me to tailor his learning experience based on his specific skills, not just his grade level. If he needs support, IXL finds his current level and helps him build up to where he needs to be. And in areas where he's advanced, IXL propels him forward without any setbacks. What I love most is that IXL uses visuals in its questions and lessons, which really helps WL learn math and science better since he is a visual learner. The interactive practice problems and educational games make learning fun and engaging. With IXL, school is a positive, fun experience. WL enjoys earning awards in the educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Real Life Real Crime listeners can receive an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to access the most effective learning program at the best price.
Hey, football fans.
BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Harris. You recognize that picture? I don't know if you can see it very well. Can you tell? Peterson. That's Christmas. That's my. Harris. You recognize Santa Claus? Peterson. Yeah, that's me. Judge. What number is that, Mr. Harris? Harris. That's DF9. D9, F-9, did you often dress up as Santa Claus for Christmas? Peterson, I did until he figured out who I was. Harris, how'd he do that? Peterson, you see the watch I'm wearing? Harris, yeah? Peterson, after that particular Christmas, he went to his mom and said, Mom, Grandpa's got a watch. Just like Dad does. So We figured out he had it figured out by that time. Harris. Did you often have time with your work to be able to sit down at home and read with him? Peterson. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things. He had a ton of books and... Harris. I'm sorry, Judge. That's D9F1. Judge. D9F1, okay. Harris. How old is he in that picture? Peterson. He looks like he's about 3. Harris. And would you read with him frequently? Peterson. Yeah, we had a real nice, comfortable area where he could sit down in that red chair. He'd like to snuggle. See, he'd come up snuggling around with a book, and I'd read to him. Harris. Did you get to spend a lot of time with him when he was young, or were you just too busy working? How would you try to do that? Peterson. No, I spent a lot of time with him. I was home every night by then, and of course weekends, and we did a lot of stuff in the backyard. He would work with me in the backyard if I had gardening to do. He wanted to be right there helping out. Harris. During the period when he was growing up, did you have family pets? Did you keep family pets around the house? Peterson. Yeah, we had quite a menagerie. We had a Scottish Terrier, and then we had a black lab. At 2 different times, we had black labs. And then we had a huge, called Lapsa rabbits. They're immense. They look like small dogs. We had 3 or 4 of those running around the backyard. And we had a cockatiel named Willie Nelson, because he sang a lot. We had an aviary full of zebra finches. They were very prolific. And if you have a pair in a month, you got 5 pairs. And he had goldfish. Harris. Did he bring animals home? Peterson. Yeah. He found a baby rabbit, a wild rabbit, in the pool one afternoon. He came running inside with it, and it was tiny. It was about this big. And I thought it was dead. And he said, well, what will we do? And I said, all we can do is dry him off, try to warm him up. Maybe he'll pull through. So we dried him off, and then I told Scott to sit down and pull up his shirt and hold the rabbit against him. And he eventually revived, and we fed it with a little eyedropper formula we got from the pet shop. It got bigger. It got about this big, and it was running around the screen room there. We had a screen room out back by the pool. And all the kids would go sit around, and we'd watch him run around the swimming pool or the screen room. His name was Barnaby. But then we decided he was a big rabbit. We should let him go. So we turned him loose one day. Harris. You take vacations together? Peterson. Yes. Harris. Where all would you go? Peterson. Catalina Island, Santa Barbara, Monterey, Carmel. Harris. I'm going to show you D9F4. Is that one of those vacations? Peterson. Yeah, it looks like Santa Barbara. Harris. Who's that next to him? Peterson. The hairy guy? Harris. Is that you? Peterson. Yeah. Harris. With the fuzzy hair? Peterson. Uh-huh. Harris. And how old is he there? Peterson. He looks like he's about 8, I would say. Harris. What was it like as far as his schooling? Where did you have him in school? Peterson. Where? Harris. Where? Peterson. His first school was an area called Scripps Ranch, and that's where he went to kindergarten in first grade. And when we moved, he was in a middle school called the Painted Rock. That was in Poway. And Harris, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Peterson, pardon me. Harris, I was going to say how he was, he is as a student. Peterson, he was a good student. He got very good grades. Harris, what did the teacher say about him? Peterson, we went to all the parent-teacher meetings, and they were all unanimously, they liked Scott. They said he was a good influence. He got good grades. He never gave them a problem. We've never heard a word from the teachers, except he was a good kid. I mean, never went to the principal, never had a phone call from a teacher. Harris, never got in any trouble. Peterson, never. Harris, never had to be disciplined as far as teachers calling you and saying a problem. Peterson, never. Harris, is that a theme that runs throughout his schooling? Peterson, that's right. Harris, so at no point during the entire time he was in school, did you ever get that phone call from the principal or teacher? Peterson, never did. Harris, never heard a bad thing he had done? Peterson, no. And we were active in school, and he was a very well-liked student from all the teachers and always had good friends, lots of friends. Harris, I think I'll talk to you just a little bit because I think I know a big part of his life, especially growing up, was this interest in golf. You said you had introduced him at an early age and he had an aptitude for it. Did he continue to play? Peterson, yeah, he played. He started playing junior golf. Harris, what is junior golf? When you say junior golf, what is that? Peterson, that's a program where they get all age groups of kids and they divide them into brackets and they put on tournaments. I think the first age bracket is 6 and 6 through 8 or something like that. So, you know, you're competing at a proper level. And at first, he started playing the short courses. They were 80, 90, 100-yard holes because they were little kids. And I remember his first tournament was at a place called Presidio Hills in Old Town, San Diego. And I remember he got thrashed. There were a lot of good players there, but he loved it. He played even if there was a tournament a week drive from there, and they wouldn't let us walk along. They didn't want that distraction, but we'd wait for him there. Harris, did he eventually become a good golfer? Peterson, in high school, he became a very good golfer, yeah. Harris, when you're saying, first of all, how do you become a good golfer? Did he work at it? Peterson, he worked at it. Harris, how did he work at it? Peterson, he hit a lot of golf balls. We got him lessons, just like we did the rest of the kids. I mean, if you're going to learn how to play golf, you have to take lessons unless you learn a lot of bad habits. So he had lessons probably starting in 6 or 7, just like the rest of the kids. And played the junior golf program. Then when he went into high school, he made varsity as a freshman. Harris, is that unusual? Peterson, that's very unusual, yeah. This is a University of San Diego high school. Harris, I'm sorry, what was the name of the school? Peterson, I'm sorry. University of San Diego High School. Harris, he made the varsity team as a freshman. Peterson, as a freshman, yes. Harris, and did he continue to play on that team? Peterson, yeah, for 4 years. Harris. When he was a freshman playing golf, did he enjoy it? Peterson. Oh, he loved it. Yeah. One of his teammates was Phil Mickelson. Harris. For those of us who may not know, who is Phil Mickelson? Peterson. Well, he's a rather prominent professional. He made a lot of money in one of the major tournaments. He's an upper five, I guess. Harris. He's in the top five golfers in the world? Is that fair? Peterson. Yeah, yeah. Harris. So Scott played with Phil Mickelson while he was in school. Peterson. I'm sorry? Harris. He played with Mickelson while he was in high school. Peterson. Yeah, he played on the same team. Harris. And Phil Mickelson was the captain? Peterson. For 2 years and then? Harris. Then Phil left? Peterson. Phil left and Scott was the captain for 2 years. Harris. When he was playing golf, when he continued to play golf, was this something he worked at every day? Peterson. Every day. There were two summers where he would get up and he'd be at the golf course just as the sun came up and start practicing. And then later in the day, he'd pick up because he worked this golf course, you know, picking up the balls, washing them, putting them back in the baskets. And I think he traded that labor for golf lessons with them. Harris. So he essentially paid for his own golf lessons by working on the course? Peterson. Some of it, yeah. Harris. Would you ever play with him? Peterson. Every day, almost. Harris. What was that like, the two of you? Peterson. It was wonderful. By that time, the business was going well, and I had a good manager, and I would come home around 3 o'clock, go to the golf course. Scott's school was right across the street. He'd run across the street, and I'd have some snacks for him. And we'd play 9 holes, and we'd practice or do both. It was really, really very nice. It was just a wonderful bonding experience.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138, visit Prevnar20.com, or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Talk about what he did in school and talk about our golf games and Harris.
So at a very early age, by a very early age, as a freshman, as a very good golfer, did it look like he had a future as a pro golfer, in your opinion?
Peterson. Yeah, it did. He was that good, and that's what he wanted. He wanted to play golf professionally.
Harris. Well, what happened? What sort of happened, in your opinion?
Peterson. Well, I think when he got to Arizona State, he realized the depth of the ability there. He's with Phil Mickelson again, and another Swedish fellow who's playing the tour now. And these two guys were just standouts. I mean, they were, you know, unbelievably good. And I think Scott said, gee, I don't think I'll ever be that good. I'm not sure that was his thought, but Harris.
Did you ever see him as a very competitive person?
Peterson. Not terribly. I'd say talented, but not really driven. I mean, he was driven in the sense that he wanted to practice and do well, but he didn't have a real, I don't know what you call it. He lost several matches because he didn't finish the job off. I think he didn't want to hurt the other guy's feelings or something, I swear, or something. Harris,
you spend a lot of time, a lot of family time on the golf course.
Peterson, yeah, not just Scott and I, his mothers and brothers.
Harris, did Jackie also play?
Peterson, sure.
Harris, his brothers?
Peterson, uh-huh.
Harris, is that the kind of a Peterson way of bonding?
Peterson, yeah, I guess so, uh-huh.
Harris, you do it at the holidays?
Peterson, yeah, even on these. Well, not the last couple years, but when the kids were all married and had their families, we would, usually the boys and I would play golf on Thanksgiving morning or Easter morning.
Harris, you mentioned, now I'm going to go back, but I just want to finish out with this. You mentioned Arizona State. What was the situation as far as Scott going to Arizona State to play golf?
Peterson, as far as him getting there?
Harris, well, as far as just playing golf there, was he on scholarship? Was he part of the team? What was the situation?
Peterson, we contacted several good golf schools to see about getting a scholarship. And we sent videos of swing around to these schools. And we particularly wanted Arizona State because Phil was there, Phil Nicholson. And so we got a hold of the coach over there and he said, well, come on over and we'll take a look at him. So the three of us flew down there on a weekend and we had a tour of the place. And he showed us the golf course and all their facilities, and watched Scott play a little bit, hit some balls, and he said, well, I can't give you a scholarship right now. All my scholarship money is spent, but you come here, you got the grades, we'll get you in school, you'll play with the team. And he boarded with the golfers, so he was part of the team for a semester. I think he played one match, because he was a freshman.
Harris, just so we're clear, you're not saying Phil Nicholson and Scott were good friends. He was somebody he looked up to as a buddy. Is that right?
Peterson, well, they were friends, not
Harris. Close friends?
Peterson, good friends, not close friends.
Harris, he eventually left Arizona State and came back to San Diego. We'll get more into that, but the only thing I want to ask you right now, did he continue to play golf?
Peterson, yes.
Harris, and eventually, he moved up to the Morro Bay area. And did he continue to play golf there?
Peterson, yeah, and he went to a community college. Cuesta College.
Harris. Sorry, what's the name of it again?
Peterson. Cuesta.
Harris. How do you spell it?
Peterson. Cuesta. They had a good golf team there, and they welcomed him because he was, you know, a high caliber player and had had some good seasons.
Harris. Okay, so golfing continued up until the time he went off to college, and he still played in college. Is that right?
Peterson. Uh-huh.
Harris. Let me go back a little bit. You mentioned your father, Scott's grandfather, moved out to San Diego. Did he develop a relationship with Scott?
Peterson. Yeah. They had a really nice relationship. Grandpa moved out when Scott was probably 8 months. And they were good buddies. Grandpa would read to him and, I'm sorry. Harris. No. That's about what I was going to ask. Take a drink. What kind of things would they do together? Peterson. They would play with Scott's toys. They would do grandpa things. Judge. You want a cough drop? Peterson. They might help. Harris. I'm sorry. You were saying the kind of things they would do? Peterson. With grandpa? Yeah. Grandpa loved to buy him little fuzzy toys, of course. He bought him a little dog that would jump and bark at the same time. And Scott would chase it around and around the floor. And then Grandpa bought him when he was still in the crib. It was a helicopter on a ride. And it would go round and round. And Scott would sit there and watch it for hours. They were really good buddies. I think what Grandpa needed, my dad needed, because my mom had just died a couple months before, it was nice for him to have someone who would hug him, you know. They had a nice relationship. Harris, you talk about early on his disposition, his personality as a child, as he became a teenager and sort of entered the normally rebellious teenager years, did his disposition change? Peterson. No. Harris. What was he like as a teenager? Peterson. Full of energy. A good student. Always willing to please. He was a leader at school. He did charity work at school. They'd go to Tijuana, pass out food and clothing. He worked tutoring kids in lower grades. There was a group that would go to, it was an old folks home on Sundays, and he would sing to them and just generally mix with them and, you know, bring them some company. And Jackie and I went there a couple times to, you know, go to mass, and then the kids get up there and sing. Singing wasn't very good, but they were very, very enthusiastic about it. Harris. Did his grades stay steady in school? Peterson. Very good student. Harris. Ever have any disciplinary problems with him at all? Peterson. Never. Harris. Was he loud and boisterous personality? Peterson. No. Not around me anyway. Harris. What was his personality like? Peterson. He was sunny. But he was sunny and motivated. He always took care of business. Always had somewhere to go. Always had a direction. You wouldn't catch him laying around in bed. He would be up. He used to wake us up with a bugle when he was in his early teens years. Bugle, and he'd stand up, play reverie, and get us out of bed. Harris. At some point, did your relationship with him begin to evolve from a father-son into a closer relationship? Peterson. I suppose. You know, we were great friends. Harris. Does that still continue today? Peterson. Yes. Harris. Was there a sense of, this is obviously the youngest child. Was there a sense among the other children of jealousy or sort of a little anger towards Scott growing up? Peterson. No. Because, you know, I was aware Scott clearly had more advantages because of his timing. And he came along and we were doing better. And I had the business. And it was making good money. And so I explained to the other kids that, hey, you know, I just couldn't do everything. I for you like I did for Scott. I just didn't have the means, and he's lucky, and you know, you're getting all I have now. But Scott's time was better, and they understood that. Harris. As Scott got older and prepared to, as he went off to college, was there a sort of, I don't say dramatic event, interesting event in your family where there were additional family members at it? Peterson. Uh-huh. Harris. Tell us a little bit about that. Now, it had to be Jackie, correct? Peterson. Yeah, Jackie had two children. Harris. Jackie had given up her two children for adoption earlier in her life. Is that correct? Peterson. Yes. Harris. Now, at this point, Scott was around 20. They reappear. Peterson. Yes. Harris. They basically looked for their birth mother and came back into your lives. Is that right? Peterson. Yeah. First, Don got a hold of us and got a hold of Jackie immediately and came out to see us and turned out to be just a really wonderful young man. And Jackie was so pleased that he was. You could see he was a fine young man and he had a good job and children and nice family. And then Ann, shortly after that. Harris, I'm sorry, Ann? Peterson, Ann was. Harris, go ahead. Would you just take a second, Lee, and write their names on the boards? So this was Don and had been Jackie's children she'd given up for adoption earlier? Peterson, yes. Harris, and they came back into your lives? Peterson, uh-huh. Harris, is that right? Did they live with you at that point? Peterson, no, they never lived with us. They were adults. Don had a family and Ann wasn't married, but she was living in San Francisco on her own. Harris, she eventually got married and we heard the name Ann Bird using this court. Peterson, yeah. Harris, is that who you're referring to? Peterson, yes. Harris, how did Scott accept the fact that he had a brother and a sister, half-brother, half-sister, he didn't know about? Peterson, I think, like the rest of us, we had a bigger family now, and they were such nice folks, and it was just easy to take them into our family. And we see a lot of Ann, or we saw a lot of Ann, and we do see a lot of Ann. Don lives back east. We don't see much of him, although he has traveled out here a couple times. We've been there a couple times. We're all acquainted. Harris. You mentioned Scott went off to Arizona State and then came back. Came back to where? Peterson. Back to San Diego for a time. All right, y'all. Geez Louise, you got everything except what kind of Pop-Tarts fucking Scott liked, right? And, he would repeat it over and over again, like, so you never had a call from a teacher? Nope. Never a call from a principal? Nope. Did he ever get in trouble? Nope. And over and over, like, every time, every point he made, he double whammied it at least. And if, again, you're on the jury, you've seen the autopsy photos. You've heard all the testimony. You've already made your decision that he is guilty of murdering his wife and unborn baby. What in the fuck does it matter if he had a helicopter on a rod with it when he was in the fucking crib given to him by his grandfather? What does it matter if he washed balls at a golf course? What does it matter if he liked to play golf? This has nothing to do with such a fucking monster, why he murdered his wife and kids. They're not saying, normally in these cases, they're saying convicted as schizophrenic or he was abused or sexually molested, like the Menendez brothers, right? They're trying to say, oh, well, they were sexually molested. That's what gave them the right to gun down their parents and go outside and even get more shotgun shells to come in and back in and finish their mom off. It's bullshit. The thing on this is, fucking, you're not saying anything. You're building them up to be a saint. I mean, that, I think if I'd have been on the jury and I got past the point of the conviction, we'll talk about that later on, but I got to get about past the point of conviction. If you're feeding me all this, if I'm not fucking sleeping, I got the red ass. And the red ass could be directed to Scott and be like, well, this motherfucker had everything. His own daddy, Sam, he gave him more than he gave his brothers and sisters. And he fucking still killed his wife and baby? Scorched. You want to know why he got the death penalty? It's because of this shit right here. And we'll continue next week, y'all. I mean, it's pretty interesting, actually. But it's interesting how fucking stupid they were on trying to present this to make him like he didn't deserve to die. Well, his unborn baby didn't deserve to die. His pregnant wife didn't deserve to die or be murdered. They didn't die. They were murdered and then dumped in the water like trash. So in this episode, I thank y'all for liking and sharing and listening. I mean, the numbers don't lie. It's crazy. It's by far the longest series I've ever done, and the numbers continue to grow on it, which is awesome and amazing, which means you actually like it. So appreciate that. As soon as we get done with the series, it won't be that many more episodes. I'm going back to the original Real Life Real Crime on Saturdays. Also, y'all, hashtag Justice for Haley. Please listen in on Fridays to the episodes. They're powerful. We need to do the call to action. More stuff has been happening since we started the podcast. It's very important. Patreon convicts, you're getting 6 days a week of commercial free early releases now, plus all the bonus episodes and materials, etc. Thank you for your support. And you can go to the App Store, download the Real Life Real Crime Community app for free. It has all the episodes in there. And if you want to subscribe, you can subscribe and be a convict through there. It has all our merch, games, it has everything. And I check that first. And then, of course, if you want to subscribe and you don't want to download the app, you can go to patreon.com and type in Real Life Real Crime and it'll bring it up and bring up the different selections. If you can't be a patron or convict, totally get it. I love and appreciate y'all. And thank you. And our prayers continue to go out to California. Jeez Louise, I don't know when it's going to end. Now, at least a hurricane moves through, right? Prayers for our lifers out there. And it's bad business. And if we can do anything to help y'all, please let us know. And I mean, I know the American Red Cross is out there. And look, when I was in the National Guard and we would be out working from hurricanes or tornadoes or whatever, the Red Cross would come out and give us like ice cold water and, you know, wet paper towels because it was during the summertime. And I just think they're a really good organization. And I know they help families that have been burned out and everything else. So if you want to donate, I don't know about the rest of them, maybe donate to them. The Miss Barbara Blunt, y'all, there's been some recent stuff in her case. And if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to the series. But Miss Barbara Blunt has been missing all these years. And please continue to call in your tips. You can call them in anonymously. A lot of you have been sending me stuff over Messenger. That's fine. However you want to do it. No tip is too small. And we'd love to break her case, okay? And then bring justice for her, because no doubt in my mind she was murdered. And Friday, January 24th, I think it's 9 p.m. Central now, new season of A&E's Cold Case Files, Murder in the Bayou. Courtney Coco's story is going to be featured. I'm definitely in it with that beautiful family. It properly tells the story. And in the description, it talks about how the case would have never been solved had a retired homicide detective turned podcaster not taken it on. So I haven't seen it yet, but you know, Cold Case Files is a creme de la creme when it comes to true crime shows. So y'all check that out. And LOPA, Louisiana Oregon Procurement Agency, JAM, save lives every single day, you know. If you watch that series, The Landman on Paramount, the billionaire guy needed a heart transplant. Well, he didn't make it. People are dying every day, but real people are dying every day waiting on a transplant. And it doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are, LOPA will help you. Louisiana Oregon Procurement Agency will help you. You don't have to be a lifer from Louisiana to sign up to be an organ donor. You can be a lifer from Prescott, Arizona, and go to LOPA.org, take 2 minutes, fill out the questionnaire thing, and they will get you signed up to be an organ donor. You can give the gift of life and sight and all that great stuff. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on murder. Bye. Peace.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any questioning. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door, you're running so that's for sure.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.